Dyett Academic Center was shuttered in 2015 as part of a controversial approach to improving education at poorly performing schools. Dyett is now scheduled to reopen for the 2016-2017 academic year, but the community wants more voice in defining the curriculum. We're joined by Jeetu Brown, who organized the action and fasted for 34 days. Welcome to FSRN.
Well, thank you for having me.
First, Mr. Brown, explain the debate over the future of Dyett High School.
There was a plan to reopen the school. Then as we started to put pressure on the district, they said, well, there's not enough money. They started to renege. But they were trying to open it as a contract school. You know, you have charters and contract schools. Both of them are forms of privatization. And they were trying to give the school to a underperforming, politically connected contract school operator that runs an alternative school in our neighborhood. And we pushed back fiercely against that. So it was going to reopen, but it was going to reopen as a privatized school. And we stopped that. We made it reopen as a open enrollment public neighborhood high school. I think the big concern we have
Brown is a community activist,
you know,
with the Coalition to Revitalize
Charter
Dyett High
so
School.
Why don't white folks
for FSRN,
have? They
I'm
don't
Mel
have
Abram.
Them because they have world-class neighborhood schools in their community. The whole issue of school choice has been a smokescreen to grease the rails for privatization. What do I mean by privatization? Let's make it plain. You know, to create schools where companies make a profit off of administering education to black and brown children, primarily. What should be a human right, what our tax dollars pay for, now companies are making a profit. And what they've done through the movement to, going back into the 1990s, the movement to have punitive approaches for schools whose test scores aren't high, is they've used that as an instrument to close schools and then to hand them over to private operators. And we are committed to killing the privatization movement. Again, there is no school choice in black communities. We, you know, have to stop drinking the corporate community's Kool-Aid. As my grandfather would say, it's a hustle. This is all about profit. It's the education market. And they go to communities they deem the most vulnerable, where people have the least, where they're least likely to raise up and fight back. So this hunger strike, I think, has been effective in teaching regular people that you can stand up against people who don't respect your voice.
The hunger strike ended Saturday. Did you gain ground toward getting the neighborhood school reopened as the Green Technology and Global Leadership Academy the community wants? And if not, why did you end the action?
Well, I think it was very clear that Rahm Emanuel would watch us die. As we saw our health deteriorating and conversations with the district were not productive, we realized that, you know, a lot had been accomplished through the hunger strike. I just want to lay out, you know, last year, we stopped the school from closing. The district committed to reopen it because of community pressure. This year, we stopped it from being privatized. I think we, you know, based on just the level of local, national, and international support we received, we know that in Chicago and around the country, I think we raised the bar in regards to how you fight back, that we don't have to fight by privatizers' rules, going to scam school board meetings and things of that nature. And we know that we will have input in how the school develops. So I think what we realized, was the man would watch us die. And what really made that very clear was the week before the end of the hunger strike, the mayor had a ribbon cutting at a school called Lincoln Elementary School, which is in mostly white, upper middle class to wealthy Lincoln Park. They got a $21 million annex that a lot of the parents refused and said, why don't you give it to the South Side? Why don't you give that money to the West Side, where the schools that need resources are? We are a well-resourced school. The district said no, and so they eventually got their annex. Now, there's no acrimony towards those parents who received it, but I just want people to reflect on that, that while parents are starving on one side of town, while black parents are starving on one side of town, just to say we want a high-quality neighborhood school. We want Walter Dyer Global Leadership and Green Technology High School. On the other side of town, parents don't have to do sit-ins. They don't have to do protests. They just have to be. And they get $21 million annex, you know, added to their school. So that really, for me, concretized the whole concept of separate and unequal, and that there's a bigger fight that we have to win. We have to win. We are close now to winning an elected school board in the city of Chicago. We must have it, because there is no such thing as school choice in African American Latino communities around the country. It's a farce. School, you know, 4,800 Bronzeville residents chose Walter Dyer Global Leadership and Green Technology High School. And to just get a school that wasn't ran by a private company, we had to starve ourselves for 34 days. It's criminal.
What comes next for both the fight for Dyett and for education reform activists across the country who seek to reverse the move to privatize public education?
This whole notion of mayoral control, appointed school boards, state takeover, these schemes that are happening in Detroit, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Chicago, Baltimore, you know, and all these places that serve primarily children of color, where they've taken away our voting rights as if us having to vote is what was wrong with the schools, are nothing but schemes that grease the rail for privatizers. Oh, I like to call them something different, colonizers. People that come and colonize our education system and our community, where we no longer have a say-so in schools that our children attend, that we pay tax dollars for, that we have to raise this as a voting rights issue, as a civil rights issue, as a human rights issue, that taking away our right to vote has done nothing but grease the rails for people to make money off of the backs of black and brown children. So I think that's the next phase of the fight. I think locally what we continue to do, we have some very dependable people advocating on our behalf, is we will struggle to make sure that, you know, many of the things we've asked for are in the school, like the community school, like the vertical curriculum alignment between the high school and the feeders. We want to make sure that those things are there. We want to make sure that green technology is in the school curriculum. It's very important. So this is what I believe will move public education forward in the United States.
G2 Brown is a community activist with the Coalition to Revitalize Dyett High School. For FSRN, I'm Nell Abram.